It's a privilege always to come and bring the Word of God to you. And today is no different. That is something that we have tried to make a foundational point for this church, that no matter what, we're going to bring the Word of God forth. We've done it through the pandemic. We've done it, you know, from my living room to yours. We have brought the Word of God because we know that everything we need for life and godliness is found in Jesus and His Word. Everything. And so when we open up His Word, it opens up life to us. It changes the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. It conforms us by the Holy Spirit supernaturally into the image of His Son. And so this morning we open up the Word once again. Last week I started a little mini-series. Sometimes in the summer I like to do little short series. And so this one is called Represent, and that is Represent Beyond. Represent Beyond. Beyond being, you know, a United States citizen, I'm proud to be an American. But even more than that, my citizenship is in heaven. And that's what the Word of God tells us, is that our citizenship is in heaven. And so we're talking about being more kingdom-minded and being representative of the Word of God and the King of Kings. Amen. So I want to just refresh your minds and your spirits to the role as a believer. And remember, believers believe, right? That's what I like to say. Sometimes I prefer to use the term believer because believers actually believe. Sometimes just to use the word Christian, do you know many people, just because they were born in this country, think they're a Christian because they were born here? And as Keith Green used to say, the musician from the 1980s, a Christian musician, unfortunately, he passed away in a plane crash, but he used to say, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger, or sitting in your garage makes you a car. And so there has to be some kind of supernatural, some kind of experience with God that causes one to change from their old nature to a new nature. It is what we call the new birth, being born again. And so believers believe. They live their faith out loud. They live their faith out loud. There should be a difference in the way we live. There should be a marked difference in how we live. The standards by which we live by. We're not looking for the world's approval on how we live our lives. We're looking for His approval, because remember, if we're representing, we're representing the interests and the government of another. We're not representing our own interests, not our own ideas, not our own ideologies, not even our own culture. We are representing the culture of the kingdom, I said last week, that we're representing that. Philippians 3:20, let's look at that. That was one of our key verses. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, our actual belonging to something that is out of this world. You realize that. So when we get too entangled in the world system, we get too involved in the way the world thinks, the way the world acts, the way the world sees things, we will miss what our kingdom responsibilities are. Our kingdom responsibilities are beyond. We are to represent from beyond. We're representing another world. We're representing a world that is alien to the world that we currently live in. Many ministers over the years have said things like, we are not home, we're just passing through. Right? This is not our home. And what happens is, we as humans, we start to get comfortable here. We start to get really comfortable here, thinking that this is all there is. So we get caught up. We get caught up in this. And our mind is no longer on this. How do we please the King? How do we please Him? You know, an ambassador, as we have said, which that is what God actually calls us in His Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Check it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go ahead and turn there with me. These are two key verses. Philippians 3:20 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us a picture of what we are to be. We are to be ambassadors. An ambassador represents not his own agenda. You know, if President Biden, if he actually appointed somebody to go over to another country and represent, and all of a sudden they start saying, well, I don't agree with him. I'm going to tell them this is what we're going to do. What do you think would happen to that ambassador? He'd get sent home pretty quickly because he's not representing well. He's supposed to be representing not his own interests, but instead the interests of another. He is actually to be the presbyteros, that's the Greek word, which actually means to be a representative. It's where in Presbyterian churches you get the word presbytery. It's a representative. So it's somebody who oversees, has responsibility, but has a representative power, if you will. God's empowered you and me to work with Him. He has accredited us. In fact, the one of the actual definitions of ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. You and me, and I have been commissioned by God to be representatives officially. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are a believer, then you have now stepped into the role of an ambassador. You have been accredited. You've been accredited by God to be a representative of the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What things? Well, if you read in the early part of that passage, in Matthew 6, he's talking about how the worldly people are chasing after, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Right? All of that earthly kind of things that all of us do have to go through, because guess what? If you're an ambassador to a foreign land, you still have to learn their culture. You have to learn how to eat their food. Come on. Right? You have to learn what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. You have to learn their ways to live among them, but you're not one of them. Do you know that God is calling us to do the same in this world? That we live among a fallen world. We live among a world that we are to represent the King of Kings from beyond. We are to truly represent. Now, last week I referred to you a verse of Scripture out of Jeremiah 29. So let's go to Jeremiah 29, if you would, please. Jeremiah 29. God speaking to the children of Israel in Jeremiah 29. And he's basically telling them that they need to seek the welfare of the city. Seek the welfare of the city. Jeremiah 29. And he says this in verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now understand, Babylon represents a very worldly, sinful, horrible place to the children of Israel. It was not Jerusalem. It was full of pagan idolatry. It was full of just horrible things. Now, when you bring that over into the New Testament as believers, we're walking in a world that's filled with a lot of sin. It's filled with a lot of gunk, a lot of stuff that is actually contrary to what God wants us and how He wants us to live, right? And so we're walking in that, but notice what it says here in verse 5. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit. Take wives, begot sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons, and goes on and on. And then he goes on, he says, and seek the peace of the city, in verse 7, where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets, and he goes on to give them some more advice. But in the context, he's telling the children of Israel in verse 7 to seek the welfare of the city. That's why often you hear me pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. If you come from another nation, you pray for your nation as well. We as Christians, we're seeing things from a much more heavenly perspective. Because I look in the book of Revelation, and it says, out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. God is concerned for the entire world, not just your particular world. And so when God has sent you into places, seek the welfare of the city. We have been sent into a worldly home. A home that doesn't always feel like home. Now, have you ever walked into your childhood home or perhaps gone to visit your parents and you walk in and you're with them, if your parents are still here on planet Earth, and even if you can think back, going back several years, there's just something about that familiarity where you just feel at home. Well, when you are a believer living in a fallen world, you never truly feel at home, do you? Because there's just something, our hearts long for another world. Our hearts long to be with our King. So we are ambassadors sent to represent beyond. Now last week I gave you several qualities and asked you to just kind of check up on yourself a little bit. I told you that you needed to be ready. I told you an ambassador is ready for chances to represent Christ. That's why I love praying for, as we were praying for the Azariah family. You know that little Jolene, she just, that's in the front of her mind that Jesus died, was buried, and was risen from the dead. And now think about what we said about them as a family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a foundational truth that a family has chosen to follow. And when they've chosen to follow that truth, they are literally representing from another world. They're representing the King of Kings. They're representing beyond being from India, beyond being here in America. They're representing beyond. Because what happens is when you get a kingdom mindset, you start seeing above the fray. Because the world is fighting about culture right now like never before. I mean, everywhere. I mean, we just had the Japanese prime minister assassinated. And you can pray for Japan. Japan has very few believers there. Very few. In comparison with a nation like the United States or a nation even like India. You know, the Japanese people, those people need a gospel witness. But there are people there. There are believers there. There are works that are there that are shining forth the gospel. And so what happens is there is just a turmoil going on in the world, and it seems as though it's ramping up. It seems as though it's ramping up. And I believe that's because I believe that Jesus is coming again. Now, we started off with Philippians 3. And it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we eagerly await, what? A Savior. Our King is coming. Our King is coming. And we are to occupy until He comes. There is a place for us to be ready to give an answer. And then we said that you needed to be patient. To not be quarrelsome. To not be quarrelsome. To be patient. To be reasonable. To be reasonable. We also said that you needed to be adaptable. Not compromise. Now, I want you to hear me loud and clear on that. I'm not saying compromise. You don't compromise your stand on something. But you can be adaptable. You can find ways that you can engage culture. You can find ways that there is agreement. You can find ways that you can have a voice. God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves into monasteries and never interact with the world. You know, we might feel like that sometimes, right? You might feel like, oh, if I could just go somewhere on an island somewhere and just worship Jesus by myself. How many of you have ever felt like that? Am I the only one? That it's like, can I just shut everybody except for me and my family out? Can we just worship God and just everybody else can just go away? Have you ever felt like that? I'm just being honest. I felt like that before. It's like, can we just put me on a nice island, you know, nice cool breeze somewhere, right? And just let me worship Jesus. And then I don't have to deal with all this other thing, right? I don't have to deal with the worldly influence that tries to attach itself to us. You see, we can be adaptable without being compromising. And then I said that we needed to be clear. We needed to be clear. Ephesians 4:29, the Apostle Paul says, he said that I would communicate clearly as I should. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And then I believe it was in Ephesians 6 when the Apostle Paul said, pray for me that I would make the mystery of Christ clear. That it would be clear. You know, I love the reminder that Jolene gave us today. You know, that it's about Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and he was raised from the dead. The gospel, right? We were reminded of that with a little one. That's what this is about. Everything should point back to Jesus. We can get caught up in all kinds of things. We can get caught up in the culture wars ourselves. I told you this last week. Sometimes when I go through Facebook, some Christians sound really mean. And if I was a worldly person, I wouldn't want to talk to them. I'm serious. I'm talking about some preacher friends of mine. That I see stuff that they post and I go, if I was a worldly person and I saw this, I would not go to you for an answer. And I'm thinking, we've got to be ambassadors of love. We've got to be the ambassadors of people who go, you know what? I know Doug knows God. I know Jim knows God. I know Alex knows God. And they might be the most worldly person at your workplace. The one who might be, you know, all totally opposite of you in everything. Politically, culturally, they might stand for everything you can't stand. Right? And in our world right now, everybody's polarized anyway. Right? What are we known for? What are we known for? Recently, I sat down with somebody I work with, and they actually started to open up to me, and I was like, I know they're not a believer. And they said, you know, this is what they said to me. They said, you know, you're a pastor, and I know you're a pastor. And I could be very, very intimidated by that. In other words, I could feel very judged by you. He didn't say that. But the implication was very clear. He said, but I'll never forget the time that I was hurting. This happened 4 or 5 years ago at work. The time I was hurting, and you stopped everything and you said, can I pray for you? He said, I will never forget that. Now, do you hear what I'm saying to you? I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm trying to get us to understand some things. You can stand for Christ, stand for things that are right and righteous. You can do it in an angry or you can do it in a loving way. The choice is yours. Now, over the years, the United States has had ambassadors that have represented us well, and we've had some that made a bad name. You can read the news stories, you know. Although, in some countries, people call Americans the ugly Americans. And the reason why they call them the ugly Americans is because we're loud, boisterous, and we demand our own way. What if we as believers representing from beyond were always the ones who are loving, who are kind, who are patient, who keep no record of wrong? Oh, wait! Doesn't that remind us of what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says? That what love is? D.L. Moody said this. He said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. See, they'll know who we are by one major characteristic. By our love. Number one. Again, these are characteristics of an ambassador, one who represents beyond. Keith Green, and I referred to him earlier, this was a song that touched my life when I first became a Christian. And I want you to listen to the words to it. I'm not going to play it because Facebook will block it if I play a song that's copyrighted. So, and I'm not going to sing it to you. It's a little too long for that, but I want to read it to you. This was Keith Green, and this was from a record called No Compromise. Said this, make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. No empty words, no white lies, no token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son you sent to save us from ourselves and our despair. It comforts me to know you're really there. I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and believe what you say. You're coming again, coming to take me away. I want to die and let you give your life to me so I might live and share the hope you gave me, the love that set me free. I want to tell the world out there, you're not some fable or fairy tale that I've made up inside my head. You're God the Son. You've risen from the dead. I want to thank you for being patient with me. You see, as ambassadors, we are to have that kind of mentality, that our life is hidden in Christ, as the Apostle Paul said. Our life is hidden in Him. So that when the Apostle said, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. See, I don't think we're teaching enough about living for God. I don't hear a lot of teaching right now about Jesus being Lord of your life. Part of that is we've kind of shied away from using the word Lord because somehow it has an implication of actually somebody being over me, and I don't want anybody over me. And that just sounds like it's a, you know, like an old term. Well, it is an old term, and it has to do with making somebody supreme over you. It's an act of your will that says, you know what, not my will, but your will. Not what I want. Joyce Meyer says that our flesh has a voice. I think, I want, I feel. 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 And you know what? As believers of like precious faith, when we become ambassadors for Christ, we literally have surrendered the I think, I feel, I want. We've surrendered that to Him to say, no, what do you think? What do you feel? What do you want today? And find our absolute joy and fulfillment in living that way. You see, I believe that God wants us as ambassadors to live that way, dependent on Him. Dependent is the word that I want to use today. Are you dependent on Him to help you make decisions? Little decisions, big decisions? Or are you just so confident in yourself? And I ask you today, look inside yourself. The balance is this. Our flesh has a voice. Are you squelching that voice and allowing His voice to reign supreme in your life? Or are you turning the voice of that volume up? I would venture to say that in our world right now, people have turned their flesh volume way up. If you could see a volume button on everybody's life, they've turned the flesh volume as far up as it could go. Sometimes I've even seen believers do it. And what God is asking us to do is, His voice is supposed to come loud and clear through us. Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'm almost done today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I realize that I've been talking to believers, and it's gotten a little quiet because I've been talking to believers. You know, I'm not shying away from the fact that there's a standard in which we live. There is a way that God is calling you and I to live that is, it's different. It's a different way. You see, there's a way that you can go, you know, if you want to go that way, even as a believer, God will let you. He will let you go your way. He's not going to force you. He'll let you go what way you want to go. In verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6, says this, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. That's a picture of where we're living. Do we go with the old way, or do we throw it all out? That's what kind of is going on with the culture wars that we're living in. If you were to go to first century Rome, where the church was surviving and meeting in secret and being fed to lions and all of that kind of thing, the kind of torture that you read about, the world was just, they had turned their flesh volume all the way up. And they were just consuming one another. It was the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that brought order and actually helped to birth Western civilization from that chaos of the collapse of the Roman Empire. See, that's why it's important that we study history. And so when we look at that, we say, wait a second, God is saying we are to be dependent on Him. Dependent on Him. He gives us power. He gives us power. In fact, He gives us the way. We stand in the way and we see. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Because the old paths, the ancient paths, one translation reads, and it just is fascinating to me that when we look at that, it's just fascinating. Let me just find it. I wanted to share it with you in another translation, and then we're going to close. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 6. I don't have it for the screen. But this is God's message. Go stand at the crossroads. Look around. Ask for directions to the old road. The tried and true road. Then take it. Discover the right route for your souls. But they said, nothing doing. We aren't going that way. I've even provided watchmen for them to warn them, to set off an alarm. But the people said, oh, it's a false alarm. It doesn't concern us. And so I'm calling in the nation as witnesses. Watch, witnesses. What happens to them? Pay attention, Earth. Don't miss the bulletins. If Jeremiah was warning the children of Israel in that way, God is asking us again, stand at the crossroads. Be a representative beyond what is on this level. What is on this level, this earthly level. And if you're just watching the news, and if you're just consumed with politics or the culture wars here, you're going to get yourself all knotted up. You've got to get your eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, and allow the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give you power to live this Christian life and to ask for the old path and walk in that old path. Listen, if they want to call me a dinosaur, then call me a dinosaur. They want to call me old school, I'll be old school. But I, as for me and my house, I'm with Alex. I will serve the Lord. I will serve Him. I will serve Him. And it may cost in the future. The world just seems to be going in a downhill direction. But I'm going to tell you something. I have found a peace. I have found a joy. I have found a power to live this Christian life. And I believe that that's how we represent beyond. Is we co-labor with Him. We co-labor with Him to the point that we say, you know, Lord, I'm doing what You want me to do today. Not my will. See, we haven't taught enough. We haven't taught enough to the believer to say, you know what? Your flesh has a voice. And you need to turn the squelch volume all the way down. When I was a kid, I had a CB radio. And you'd hear all this noise. And if you've ever played with a CB radio, the way you would get the noise to go down is you had a thing called a squelch. And you would turn the squelch so that you stopped hearing all the noise and you could hear just the clear communication that would come through the CB radio. In our world today, there's a lot of noise. You got to turn that squelch volume. You got to turn the flesh volume all the way down and let his voice be heard in your life, because that's who you represent. You represent beyond. And I believe the best is yet to come for us. To represent is a privilege. It's an honor. And he gives you the power, the protection, and the ability to represent in a dark world, to say, you know what? I'm going to serve Jesus. As for me and my house. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us to be representatives of you, to be dependent on you in everything that we do. Father God, that we would have characteristics of being humble. We would have characteristics of having an attraction. Lord, that people would look to us and say they have love. They have love like no other people that I've ever known. That they are honest and that they are fair. Father, I thank you that as ambassadors, those qualities that are qualities that you have would be our qualities. That we truly would be your hands and feet in this earth. Ambassadors for you. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're watching online, I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, to be born again. And what an honor to become part of his family, to become an ambassador for him. And the way you do that is you believe in your heart and you confess him as your Lord and Savior with your mouth. You make him Lord, and he reigns supreme. So if that's you, we're just going to bow our heads. We're all going to pray this simple prayer out loud, and you can pray that prayer in the comfort of your home or right here. And if you pray that prayer as either an act of recommitment or for the first time that you've become a Christian, I want to know about it. I want you to message us. We're just going to go ahead and pray that prayer right now. Say, Father God, I come to you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I thank you, Lord, that he was risen from the dead. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you received his forgiveness and you've prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. Message us. Let us know. This Wednesday, we will be having our Foundations Live class with communion. And we want to invite you to be a part of that right here on Facebook Live, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right on Facebook Live. Please share that with friends, people that you may know. Let's stand to our feet right now as we have our closing verse. And then we're going to have our wonderful reception for the Azariah family and ukulele band practice. And let's say this out loud. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.